This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. Tom Burgoyne, along with Director of Fun and Games, John Brazier. John, this is a great surprise for us. The great Debbie Nacido really hooked us up this time, didn't she?
She said, hey, would you guys have any interest in Dale Murphy coming on your podcast? And it's like, well, yes, of course. So I normally don't come down to the ballpark very often. And I made a when Debbie said you're in town, I said I'm coming right in to do this interview. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
For joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, it's great to have you, Murph.
It's always great to be back in Philly. I don't get here enough. Been here a couple times before, but this is a little unusual trip for me. The reason why I'm here, but you know, I wasn't here very long, but I had a great time.
Yeah.
I really did. I didn't play very. I didn't really play very well. Got hurt and all those kinds of things. But I had a great couple years here and just loved it here and. Great memories from Nancy and I, too. The kids were here for one winter anyway, and we just loved it. It's always fun to come back. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and when you come back, I mean, you do see some familiar faces, right?
Yeah. Fewer and fewer.
Yeah.
And it's just weird how fast time goes, you know.
Yeah.
But
you mentioned, what you're doing in town. You have a business that.
Well,
That's pretty cool.
I got a job, a real job. And
sucker. John and I still don't have that yet.
You're still there. Awesome. No, it's been great. I have some friends, longtime family friends that have a business called LiveView Technologies, and it's been around 15 years. And what the bread and butter of the company is a solar-powered portable high-def, high-tech surveillance and security camera system that can actually be moved and not wired and web-based. And so the applications are numerous, but they've done a little bit of some sports, and they asked me to develop a little more business in sports and entertainment, and it's a perfect fit for something like this at the sports complex with a lot of areas of the parking lot that you can't get a camera on that you want to monitor. And so the Phillies, you know, Sal DeAngelis and Ed Spear have just been fantastic. They're on a demo program. They're going to see how it works here, and then you know we're going to meet with everybody here in the complex. So it's really an ideal product. Hopefully it works out, but again, it's portable, it's movable, and really kind of puts some security eyes
and traffic, right? It'll show traffic patterns.
Yeah, you can use it for whatever application you want, but it can be used for observation or for warning because there's some digital thermal cameras, too, that'll give you a warning if someone's entering an area where they shouldn't be. So it's fascinating. But I think this conversation really started in November or December of last year. And Sal's like, well, you know, everything's weird now with the pandemic and everything, but let's stay in touch. And he actually said, I think in January, he said, you know, I think May is going to work out here. And so here we are. We have six of our units set up. I'm here with a team from LiveView Technologies, and I'm a businessman. I'm a salesman now. So
you're not wearing a tie. Which
so
is nice.
Well, I'll give you a card when I'm done.
Dale also told us that when he sent an email, Debbie Nacido gets an email from Dale Murphy, but she doesn't recognize. Debbie is our alumni person.
Yes.
She gets the email and she doesn't recognize Dale's email address and thinks it's just some other Dale Murphy, right?
Right. Yeah. She got down in touch with Ed and goes, "Is this the same one?" Because the context was weird, but it's been a great experience. I mean, we've had a lot of fun with your security team here, and I'm learning a lot. Don't ask me the technical aspects of this machine because really the technology is really remarkable, but it's fun, And I'm talking with teams and, like I say, entertain venues, you know, venues that need kind of a different a way to secure property and stuff.
You know, Tom, if we had this technology in 2009, I might have gotten my World Series ring back.
Yeah.
Because, Dale, I actually made national news, unfortunately, that I left my ring in the bathroom right down this hall down here in our, you know, the bathrooms that we all use.
Yeah.
And I left my ring in there for about a half an hour and then it was gone. And it ended up, someone from the cleaning service saw it and was tempted by it and took it. And I did get it back because they were able to find it. But, you know, we did have to rely on cameras in the hallway. And
There was a chopper. There was a chopper flying around Citizens Bank Park looking for his ring.
Yeah, so now every time, if someone loses a World Series ring, a Super Bowl ring in this city, anything,
go to you.
It comes back to, you know, John Brazier lost his World Series ring.
Was it your brother-in-law who gave you it? Tell Murph the little gift that you got. Was it your brother-in-law?
Yes, my brother-in-law. So as you can imagine, I caught a lot of grief.
I can imagine.
Internally, by the security people, I had college friends that read this story, you know, over in California. So my brother-in-law, who's a practical joker, Jeff, my Christmas present one year, he built, I have it in my office, I'll show it to you afterwards. He built this thing, it's like in plexiglass, and it's like a tower, and on the tower it has a little, you know, like a ring, like I guess jewelers, they clip the ring on, like, you know, the jeweler thing. And he said, you can take this into the bathroom so you'll never put your World Series ring
in the toilet roll.
It's on a, yeah, oh, there's a toilet roll. He had a toilet roll on the stand. And he said, take this into the bathroom and it's, you know, you can clip your ring in there. You got your toilet paper right here and you're good to go. So I now have it standing proudly in my office.
That's amazing. Well, how long did it take before you got it?
It was gone and then about 4 days, I think we got it back.
Incredible.
So I was panicked for a little bit, but. And I hadn't even gotten insurance on the ring yet. Yeah. So it was a little unsettling.
I can't imagine people giving you a bad time about this.
No, right.
No, of course not. Every Christmas party, you know. Well, it's almost when the Fanatic lost his head. It was gone for about 4 days, actually.
Right.
He lost his head, but, you know, that's another story for a different time. But, Murph, I'd love to, you know, we got you for a little bit, so just talk about your career a little bit. And, you know, it's so funny, you know, when you came to the Phillies, it's like, man, because I started the year, I guess you came to the Phillies in 1990. I started here in 89. And, you know, when we heard Murph was coming to town, I kind of had mixed emotions because, you know, for a while there, growing up in Philly, you know, we were, you know, Mike Schmidt, Greg Luzinski, you know, Boa, you know, those guys. And, you know, so, you know, anybody who wasn't a Philly, you know, was always on our enemy list. But then also, like, you know, the, you know, you famously won two back-to-back National League MVP awards. But to me, it was like, well, I could have gone to Schmidt. You know, Schmidt, he had a good
well,
year.
It could have, no question.
So you guys had that rivalry, but, you know, so anyway, but it was actually awesome when you came
here.
Well,
thank you.
You know, but I'd love to, for a second, just even go back. When you were playing, were you a multi-sport athlete?
You know, I think most of us in that era were. We just played whatever season it was. I did stop football, I think, once I got to high school. And then I took a year off basketball because I was hurt, so I wanted to make sure I was ready for baseball. But generally, grew up playing everything. I think that's just kind of what we did. It's a different era now. But I think there are, I know I talk to scouts all the time. They love multi-sport athletes. It's hard to convince the high school coaches that it's good for these kids to play multiple sports.
Yeah.
Because now there's, you know, summer basketball or summer, you know, training camp for football. And they specialize at such a young age. And there's a lot of pressure for these kids to specialize with the travel baseball and all that stuff. But I think there's, you know, if someone were to ask me now, I'd definitely say try and play two sports. It's great cross training. It'll get you ready for everything. I think Andrelton Simmons, one of the best shortstops I've ever seen. He credits soccer with his footwork. He's not I wouldn't consider Andrelton a fast player, but he's always in the right spot. And he's got great footwork around the base. And so there's a lot of guys. I think a lot of guys played multi-sports growing up. But it's getting harder and harder. But then in 1974, you know, an interesting story. The Phillies flew me in for a pre-draft workout here in 74, right before the June draft. It was the only workout I went to of a major league club. And the story, so I'm here, I'm taking BP, they go, go grab a bat. I pick up these bats, you know, they weigh 4 pounds. To me, I was like, Greg Luzinski, these guys were all young players, and I was an 18-year-old. I couldn't hardly pick up their bats. So I took some BP, Ray Rippelmeyer was throwing us BP. And my dad and I were here, and some other guys, you know, were trying out, high school guys. So they go, okay, let's go out to the right field line. We're going to run you in the 60-yard dash, see how fast you are. And they said, okay, first two up, Murphy and Wilson. It's Willie Wilson.
Oh, my goodness. He smoked you.
I'm like, so I, you know, they drop the hat or whatever. They say, go, and I start, and Willie's, and I didn't know who Willie Wilson was at the time, one of the fastest guys to ever play the game. And so they picked Lonnie Smith that year. Lonnie wasn't at the tryout. I was picked fifth by the Braves. I think Lonnie went third or something like that.
And you were a catcher, right?
Yeah, I was drafted as a catcher. Defense kind of went south, and they moved me to first base. And then Bobby in 19 offseason of 79-80 called me up and said, what about, you know, be ready to play in the outfield when you come spring training in 80 and turn my career around. Obviously, I made the all-star team that year. Before that, I had started to hit, but I didn't have a position. So Bobby really saved me.
So does that have a direct correlation? I mean, just going to the outfield as far as turning around offensively?
Absolutely. My mind was just finally settled because it's a hard enough game to play without going out there worrying about not being very good defensively, you know, and just worrying that I'm not going to be able to stay here and catch and play first. I played, you know, I don't know how many innings, games at first, and, you know, and I caught, I don't know, 80 games probably, you know, between 76 getting called up and all that stuff. But then all of a sudden it was like, man, I have a place. And I went out there and relaxed, and I contributed defensively. I ended up playing well defensively. And
5 gold gloves.
Yeah, I mean, it was a strange turnaround for me, but there's no question it just kind of settled. And then put it all together in 82 and 83 and under Joe, Bobby was great. Joe Torre was great for me. And then, you know, things went south a little bit and, you know, those 88, 89, I was struggling. They were going a little, you know, toward a youth movement. And that's how this situation came up here with Philly. A lot of people don't understand what happened is even Braves fans are like, oh, I'm never going to a Braves game for what they did to you. I was like, well, let me tell you what I was going to be a free agent in 91. I came here in 90, right? Yeah.
Yes.
In 91. So it was 90, and I'm looking at either being a free agent after some not so good years, you know, negotiating off of that at age, whatever I was in 90, 34, or I said, Bobby, if there's a trade that works and they'll extend me, I'll consider it. Because then I wouldn't have to go out and be a free agent. I'd know I'd have an extension. And Lee Thomas. Lee called up and said, we'll take Murph. And so that's how I got here. I was like, okay. And I just, you know, obviously played here all the years, loved to play here. And I thought this is an interesting team in more ways than one.
Yeah, I got to ask you about that. Yeah. I mean, you came in when, you know, the Macho Row and the Gypsy Tramps and Thieves, and they had more nicknames than anybody. But
well, and then the posters, I remember. Remember that?
Dr. Dirt.
It was Dr. Dirt, Mr. Clean, right? Which is
Everybody goes, you didn't fit in there. And I was like, you know, I did. They just welcomed me with open arms, and Krucky was here. And the organization's great. The city was great. The fans, I loved my time here, and it was a jolt. You know, Atlanta, I love it. Obviously, I'll always be known as a Brave, and I'll be thankful for it. But my years here kind of opened my eyes, and it was real. I really regret not being healthier because I loved playing here. There's a jolt here that doesn't. It's not in Southern California. It's not in the Southeast. It's the lifestyle. Fans are a little more laid back, which is fine. It's just the way it is. But I really enjoyed here. I was excited. Joe Torre called me up, I think, the night I started here. He called the clubhouse, and I go over there, and it's Joe. He goes, how are you feeling? I go, it's pretty weird.
Yeah,
I go, I'm really nervous. And he goes, that's awesome, man. He goes, that means it's, you know, it's going to be a good thing for you. And I just got to say that when Bryce Harper started negotiating with all these teams and I saw Philly was there, and I knew he's a West Coast guy or in Nevada, Las Vegas, I think his wife is from the West Coast. I was like, I don't know. I think he's going to Philly, you know. Yeah. And people would be like, well, why do you think that is? And it's like, because I've played there. I know what it's like. It's a fantastic place to play. And I think Bryce felt that. And, you know, probably surprised some people, but I know he loves it here. And
he's fitting perfectly.
He's doing great things, yeah.
He is. I've never seen an athlete in any sport that's come to Philadelphia and has embraced it. A lot of it's because he loves the fanatic. But he's had such a great attitude with the fans, with the team. He hustles. He's everything what a Philly fan would want in a superstar. And it's when you're getting paid that much money, you know, as you know, a lot of the fans can be pretty tough, saying you better live up to that contract. And I think that every fan could say right now that he's lived up to that contract and some.
Well, yeah, the fans, you know, they have, you know, you know the reputation, but it's kind of like, they care about it, you know, and they want you to do well, but they also love you because you chose them.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I chose to come to Philly, and when you choose, I just have always felt like a part of the Phillies. Obviously, I've spent all those years with Atlanta, but my few short years here, I whenever I've come back or talked to anyone, I've felt like I was here a lot longer than 2 years. It's just it's a great organization. It's a great place to play. And they took me too. Lee said, you know, Lee Thomas said, yeah, we'll take Murph. And I had a great experience.
Could you see the makings? Because, you know, when you came in 90, you know, things were still being put together. Had a great run in 92, Lenny gets hurt and on opening day. But could you see the makings of that 93 club?
Yeah. You know, I left the Braves in 90 and they went to the World Series in 91. I left the Phillies in 92 and they went to the World Series in 93.
We weren't
going to
mention it, Murph.
So I'm a good luck charm the year before. But, I mean, that's why I came here. Everybody's like, well, they're not contending. I was like, no, there's a good nucleus here. And the attitude was really scrappy and tough, and we're gonna play hard. You know, that's just the Philly way.
Yeah.
It's not that every team doesn't want to be there and be that, but there was something here, and it was those guys and their just the attitude, and you know, Krucky keeping everything loose. And
yeah, was it Krucky who had the line when Dale joined the Phillies in 93, it was, and now we have one Mormon and 24 morons.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Did
he really?
Yeah. He did.
That's a great line.
He did. I've used it a lot. But it's just, like I said, I sensed something, I guess. And then, then I actually, I don't want to go into a long story, but I got, doctors now have said, they've said, what happened to you in 92? And I've described it to them. They said, it must have been MRSA. But that acronym wasn't even around then. So I my knee was messed up. Then went to spring training in 93, and it didn't work out. And the Rockies picked me up.
And that was the first year of the Rockies.
That was inaugural year of the Rockies. Joe Girardi was on the team.
And that was at Mile High, right? Because they played Mile High for 2 years, right?
Yes.
And then they went into Coors Field.
And that's why I retired. I couldn't hit one out of Mile High. Right. You can't hit one out of anywhere. So I was ready to hang it up.
Knew.
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, let's go back in time a little bit, because there was a scene, basically a real-life scene out of Pride of the Yankees, where I'm sure you remember this, June 12th, 1983, you went up in the stands and you visited a six-year-old girl. Her name was Elizabeth Smith. And she lost both hands and a leg when she stepped on a live power line. You went to visit her. You gave her a hat. You gave her a T-shirt. And she asked if you could hit a home run for her, and you know, which I guess is a lot of pressure when you get that. You said yes, but not only did you come through, you came through twice. You hit two home runs that day, and you drove in all the Braves runs in the 3-2
victory. This game's easy, Harry.
Right? I mean, that storybook right there. Again, well, it was in a movie, and you did it in real life.
I might have mumbled yes, but
you weren't real confident.
I don't – Yeah, exactly. I was like, what was it? You're getting 88? What?
It was 83.
Oh, 83. I was hitting pretty good that year.
Yeah.
I'm glad she didn't ask me that in 89. I believe, like, are you kidding me? Yeah, I mean, I can't remember what I said. If I said yes, or if I said if I hit one, it's for you. I was like, I'd never been asked that directly, but I certainly, it was a special moment, and it's one of those things that worked out. All I can say, very thankful for that memory.
Yeah, awesome. You know, in your career too, Murph, you've obviously played with a lot of players. One guy, when I asked you about, you didn't play with him, but you played kind of for him, and that's Hank Aaron. Did you have much of a relationship with him?
We kind of missed each other. My first spring training, I was drafted in 74. My first spring training was 75. He got traded that year back to Milwaukee.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah.
And then he wasn't part of the Braves organization.
When he came back, he was director of minor league player personnel. I was in the big leagues.
Wow.
So we just kept a direct association, but there was always the indirect association, and he'd come down occasionally. You know, it was interesting. He was just upstairs, you know, running the minor leagues while I was in Atlanta, and he came down, you know, and talk hitting, but he wouldn't come down unless he was invited by the hitting coach. So it wasn't like he was hovering, you know, very respectful and of us. But yeah, I'd talk to him, but he'd come down and I'd take some extra VP and he'd be invited down there. And I mean, it's kind of like talking, well, you can imagine, it's like, yeah, Hank, I'd do that if I were you, but right. I'm me.
Right.
It's like Ted Williams. I met Ted Williams and he watched a lot of games on TBS. He's like, Dale Murphy, you got to get a better pitch to hit. And I was like, you know, he didn't swing at a ball 4 inches off the plate. And I struck out 150 times. It's like, Ted, I'm just me. I'm not you. But anyway, Hank, so I really, over the years, really had a lot of cool associations with him. Not so much while I was playing because his jobs were different. But
how about when you first got started with the Braves? Were there a couple players there in those early years that really took you under their wing?
Yeah, and Dusty was there. Dusty Baker, and everybody loves Dusty. Dusty was there, and Davey Johnson was there. Because remember, it was Hank, Davey, was it Dusty? I should know this. That hit 40 home runs. There were three guys that hit 40 home runs. Davey did it. He was a second baseman.
Yeah.
But anyway, Davey Johnson was there, got me my first glove contract with Rawlings, took me over and introduced me to the Rawlings guy. And back then, you know, because you were buying your own gear, and not your catcher's gear, but your gloves and everything. And to get a glove contract, I was just so excited.
Those times have changed.
I was like, are you kidding me? And Davey goes, hey, guys, this is Dale Murphy. You need some catcher's mitts. And Dusty was there. Ralph Garr was there. So it was a great experience, but I missed Hank by a year.
How many different managers did you play under?
That's a good question. At least, Bobby, Joe, Chuck Tanner, Russ Nixon. I'm trying to think, we might've had a few guys fill in for the Braves. My first one got called up was Dave Bristol. Yeah, has some good Philly connections.
Nick Latham was your first guy here, right? Was Nick?
Yeah, Nick was here. Yeah, that's right. Nick was here my first year, and then Jim Fregosi. Yeah. And then played for Don Baylor in Colorado, which was a and Don Zimmer was his bench coach. So I got to play with Zim for a couple months, and that was a real treat. Rain delays were the best. You could hear some stuff from Zim that just was incredible. So I'm sure, I apologize, I'm forgetting somebody.
Well, as fascinating as your baseball career was, I think, you know, what you've done since you've left the game too, Murph. I mean, just some of the charitable organizations you've been part of. You know, talk about a few of them. I know the I Won't Cheat really seems like a great thing that's geared towards kids, right?
Well, yeah, that was a real fun project. It's kind of in limbo, on hold a little bit, just because of some reorganization and things. Mm-hmm. But it really grew out of the steroid issue because, you know, we all know that era. And I just got concerned, about kids. And it's a real hard message to get across to kids because they think they're just, you know, infallible and never get hurt and never get old. And there were just, obviously, as we know, throughout youth sports and professional sports, that was a real tough era to get a hold of. And I think baseball, by and large, has done a really good job. And I was just part of a group of, me and a couple of friends were like, we got to try to get this message out to kids that and that's part of the message was they would take a pledge to not cheat in life, in school, in sports. And you just got to try and tell them that when you're done, you want to be able to look back and say, I did it the right way. Yeah. And that's the message is it's a legacy. It's a legacy issue that I wanted to share with those kids. And so that was a fun project. And I think generally our sports and our youth sports are still issues in professional baseball. But by and large, I think we've done a pretty good job of curtailing that performance enhancing drug issue.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I know you have some of your buddies from,
from LiveView Technologies. Yeah. This is the brain trust right here.
Oh no. Really?
They're all Phillies fans.
Oh, well that's good. Oh, you guys. And you're getting treated to a game tonight, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, they've been taking such good care of us. Terry Nashif, Chris Harling, Josh Otteson, and Dave Studdard.
Well, it's great awesome. Great to have you guys. You're going to now see this is this is podcast history because John Brazier every week.
Well, hold on before
together,
we get to the quiz.
Go ahead.
We didn't mention too. He's an author.
Oh,
right, Dale. You've read or you've written three books.
I'm an author. I've written. I've written. Nancy, my wife.
Oh, is that right?
She's the writer.
All right.
So you guys collaborate on the books or what?
Collaborated.
Yeah, all right.
Quote, unquote. Well, yes, but Nancy helped me a lot. And
awesome.
We did write a couple books, yeah.
I'll tell you.
But she's the writer. I'm just the...
Well, that's going to lead me to a funny story with speaking about writing books. Gary Matthews, obviously, Sarge. We're down in spring training, and Sarge was signing, I think when the gates opened, he was going to sign copies of his book up in the concourse. So we had a radio station down there, and they wanted to interview Sarge, about it was a country station. So they were interviewing him about Tug McGraw and, or Tim McGraw and a lot of the different artists. So at the end of the interview, she said, "All right, well, Sarge, we better let you go because I know you have to get upstairs and sign your book. What's the name of your book?" And he's on the radio, and he looks over to me and says, What's the name of the book? And I didn't know the name of the book. I said, and I'm Googling it on the phone, trying to find it. And I'm sitting there going, he doesn't even know the name of his own book that he's about to sign in 20 minutes.
Are the books that Dale wrote in the quiz so we can see if he's...
No, I didn't put it in the quiz. I did not put it in the quiz. No.
So, Murph, you smiled when we mentioned Sarge. Is he one of the great guys?
Oh, the first time, the only time I ever went into a general manager's office and said, "What are you doing?" was when we traded Sarge here.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I was just, it was me, Bob Horner, Glenn Hubbard, all these young guys.
Yeah.
And Gary, it just was just a great influence on all of us. You know what he's like.
No, he's
and that's why I understand Pete Rose called him Sarge. That's where I think, because we didn't call him Sarge in Atlanta.
Right.
That's what I've always heard is that Pete said Sarge. Anyway, and he was one of my, him and Phil Niekro were my two most influential teammates. I mean, Gary played hard.
Yeah.
And he had a little show in him before that was popular. He used to go, "Murph, you are so boring out there." He used to go, "Geez, do something. Get mad. Man, it's bologna and cheese every night." That's what he said. Oh. And I'll tell you this one. I got to tell this story because we were in Chicago and it was my first year and he goes, "How you doing?" I go, "Oh, I'm really struggling." And he goes, "You scared?" And I go, "Like, what do you know?" I was kind of offended. He goes, "Because it looks like you're scared out there." And man, it just really woke me up. And I was a rookie, and who knows what I would look like? I didn't even know what I was doing. But that really hit me. I was like, man, if he thinks I'm up here looking nervous and tentative and scared, that's not good. So I saw him about 10 years ago, and I went up to him. I said, "Hey, I just got to thank you for that conversation around the batting cage in Chicago." He goes, "What'd I say?" And I told him, he goes, "I didn't say that." I go, "Yes, you did." But he was that kind of leader that I needed someone to say that. No one else would say it to me. And you need teammates like that'll have an honest, I'm not talking about berating you, I'm talking about having an honest conversation.
Yep.
And that's the kind of player and teammate Gary was, and I was so happy he came here and had all the fun things that happened here too. They won the 83.
Yep. And he was the NLCS MVP.
Yep. Was he the MVP? Yeah.
And you know what, Dale, he also you know, later, and he was an announcer for how many years was Tom?
Many
years, and fans loved him.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't? How do you not love Sarge?
Yeah, no,
he's the best.
He's so fun. I was having breakfast in Phoenix one day, and guy said, "What are you here?" And I said, "I'm here for a baseball thing." And the kid said, "Oh, my dad used to play baseball." I go, "Really? Where did he play?" He goes, "Played in Atlanta." I said, "What's his name?" Gary Matthews, Sarge's son. Oh, yeah.
Was it junior?
No, it wasn't junior. Okay. Junior, I think junior was playing at that time. This was one of his other kids, and so no, Gary was. And so when we traded, I think we got Bob Walk. I don't remember who was all in the trade. Bob did good for us. I mean, but John Mullen, I went into his office and I was like, I can't believe I went into his office, but that's what I felt like doing. We were all devastated, to be honest with you, when that happened, because we loved playing with Gary.
Mm. All right. Well, look
you're going to ask me questions.
Yeah. Well, Dale, we do a every year. We've been doing this now for over 3 years, right? Yep. I think we're now in our fourth season. And to our podcast guests, we do. Is it a treat, Tom? It's not a treat, is it? It's not, especially Dale, since we butcher it, or at least I butcher it every time. So there's probably something wrong in here because there is every time. But I'm going to give you a quiz. It's 8 questions. It's all about your life. It's multiple choice. It's multiple choice. So I've got some.
This is going to be fun.
You know, so and what's the baseline, Tom?
We got to win. You got to get 6 of 8.
6 of 8.
Murph's got to get 6 of 8.
And since he doesn't come into Philadelphia very much, but now he's probably going to be coming in a lot. So now he's got a product here. That what are you going to give him fanatic wise?
Well, I think if he gets 6 of 8, he should get the business, the whole sports complex.
Really? Okay.
For the camera.
So you're speaking on behalf of everybody.
Correct.
All right.
Yes. I'm sure Sal will go along with it.
Yes. And I'm sure everybody else will. And why don't you throw in some fanatic stuff in there,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, and a fanatic doll, too.
All right. Okay, deal.
All right. Are you ready?
I don't know. I got my friends from LiveView Technologies on their phones ready to Google.
There you go. All right.
They're gonna go like this.
All right. So
okay.
Wait, isn't your I won't cheat?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Is that cheating? Is Google cheating?
Your organization?
It's Googling it. Okay. I won't look at him.
All right. We'll and also on. Just know that it's the director of Fun and Games and it's the Fanatic's best friend. So just know that that's there's a little theme here. That's where we're coming from. All right. You went to Woodrow Wilson High School in Portland, Oregon, right? Which is no longer Woodrow Wilson. It's something. Oh, right. It's Ida B. Wells Barrett. Was it Ida B. Wells Barrett?
Or
was
correct. It Woodrow? No, you're right. It's changed to Ida B. Wells.
It's changed. Okay, so you went to Woodrow Wilson High School.
Yes.
So I'm going to mention 4 celebrities, and one of these celebrities did not go to Woodrow Wilson High School.
Oh.
Okay. 3 went. 1 did not.
3 went, and 1 did not.
Yes. Yeah, so A is former Phillies pitcher Wayne Twichell. B is former NBA player Damon Stoudemire. C is comedian Buddy Hackett. And D is actress Alicia. Quit laughing, Tom. Sorry. And D is actress Alicia Logano, who is on a show called All About Us and The Client List. So which of those did not go to?
Gotta be Buddy Hackett.
Buddy Hackett. Come on with Buddy Hackett.
No. Yeah.
You always find a random name.
You know why Buddy Hackett? Because this is. I'm not even going to tell the story.
I got to say, Twitch was here when I came for that tryout.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah. Yeah, he talked to us for a while.
How about that?
All right. In the fall of 1979, while you're playing, obviously, you enrolled at BYU, which is pretty cool that you did that in the offseason, I guess.
Yes.
Right? And you met your future wife, Nancy, right? He was a cheerleader at BYU. So which of these celebrities did not go to BYU?
Oh, this is going to be tough.
All right. So, again, 4... no, it's not going to be tough. Believe me. It's not going to be tough. All right. A is politician Mitt Romney. B is Soupy Sales from Match Game 76. C is Soupy. Andy Reid. And D is Danny Ainge.
I got to go with Soupy.
Soupy Sales is correct.
Soupy Sales is correct.
Anybody under 59 has no idea what you're even...
Well, I watched Match Game 75 and 76. So Tom can attest, every quiz has somebody from Match Game. I have Nipsey Russell, I'll have Soupy Sales, I'll have Gene Rayburn,
Charles
Nelson Reilly, Fanny Flagg. There's so many to choose from.
Oh, I could name them all too.
All right, number 3, you're on a roll, 2 for 2. All right, your first professional baseball team was the 1974 Kingsport Braves, correct? Of the
correct.
Appalachian League. All right, so 3 of these guys are your teammates. 1 was not a teammate. One is actually a Phillies employee. So you got to – which one's the Phillies employee? Which one's not your teammate back then? Again, this is a long time ago, so you got to go back into time. All right. A is Rick Camp. B is Rufino Linares. C is Dave Campbell. And D is Sean Rainey.
Sean Rainey.
Right. He's our video guy. He's our video guy. You're on a roll. 3 for 3.
He took over video Dan's place.
Yes, he's now Video Sean, I guess.
Video Sean.
All right, so you're on a roll. 3 for 3. All right, in 1991, you were second on the Phillies with 18 home runs. Who was the team leader with 21 home runs that year? Was it John Kruk, Charlie Hayes, Darren Dalton, or Wes Chamberlain? Who had 21? You had 18.
21. Gee whiz, I'm going to go with either John or Dutch. I'll go with Krucky.
Krucky, you are on a roll, nice. 4 for 4. 4 for 4. All right, Tom, I think you – no, you didn't mention – well, you mentioned he won back-to-back MVPs, which is phenomenal. There's only 13 players in Major League Baseball history that have had back-to-back MVPs. Which one of these players is not one of them? So three of these guys are back-to-back MVPs, one's not. Ernie Banks, Joe DiMaggio, Albert Pujols, Joe Morgan.
Just one of them is not.
Is not. The other three guys had back-to-back.
What are those names again, John?
Ernie Banks, Joe DiMaggio, Albert Pujols, Joe Morgan. One did not
I got to go with DiMaggio.
DiMaggio is
That's
correct.
What I was going to say,
You're going to go with that, too?
I was on that, too. Yeah.
All right. Very good. You probably know this answer. You probably don't even need multiple choice in this. You have the fourth most home runs for the Atlanta Braves franchise. Obviously, Hank Aaron is number one. Who is 2 and 3? And I can give you a multiple choice if you need it.
Go ahead.
So, yes.
Well, yeah.
Well, I guess the Braves, Milwaukee, Atlanta.
It's a little, right, yeah, a little you're talking there. About See, in Atlanta. Oh, well, go ahead.
No, you're right. These guys did it in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
He doesn't know. I'm telling you.
All right, I better give you that. Is it Freddie Freeman and Chipper Jones, A, B, Eddie Matthews and Bob Horner, C, Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones, D, Eddie Matthews and Chipper Jones.
Wait a minute. I don't understand.
So these are two and three, right?
They're number two and number three.
I'm four.
Yeah, you're four.
Hank's
Hank
one.
Aaron's one. Who's 2 and 3?
Oh, I got you.
I think I had this one, too.
And Chipper's on there as,
Chipper is one of them. So, yeah, so who's the other one? Is it either Eddie Matthews, Andrew Jones, or Bob Horner, or Freddie Freeman?
Oh, it's Freddie or Andrew. Oh, man, could it be Bob? No.
You can get a lifeline with Tom.
Freddie just hit his 250th.
Tom, you want to be his lifeline?
Yeah, come to me as a lifeline. I think I got this one.
Andrew?
But if you went with me, I'd go Eddie Matthews.
Eddie Matthews. Yes, Eddie Matthews.
I didn't think Eddie played that long in Atlanta.
This could be the question I screwed up. So we're going to get.
Well, you know
it.
what I'm saying. I mean, Eddie's got over 500 home runs, but he did
right.
But not all in Atlanta.
The Atlanta franchise question.
We'll throw it out as Mike. Yeah, you get a free one from me.
Give it. Just gonna, you guys are right. Easy.
Now everyone always says, and obviously after this interview, I totally agree that you're one of the nicest players to ever play the game. People say Jim Thome or Dale Murphy.
Oh,
right?
Thank you.
And we had them both.
So thank you.
Somebody was quoted as saying, "Dale might be the only player I know who could call 24 guys in one locker a good friend." Was that Don Sutton, Bob Horner, Joe Torre, or Hank Aaron? Who said? Dale might be the only player I know who could call 24 guys in one locker a good friend.
Oh, that's so nice. I'd say it's Sutton.
It was Don Sutton. Yep. Don Sutton. And I know he just passed away recently. So
he was. That's yeah. I was thinking. I've seen it before, and I was trying to think. Yeah, Braves had a sad year. Lost Nuxie and Don Sutton, who did radio and TV for many years.
Yeah,
too,
but so we met him a couple times when he was up in the media room. So, all right, last question. I believe you are, yes, with
seven
that.
For seven.
With my butcher, you are 7 for 7.
Well, no, I won't accuse you of that. That's a.
So we're going to take you to your last year in the major leagues. You played in the first ever game we mentioned, Rockies history, 1993 at Mile High Stadium. You had an RBI single that game. Who was your opponent, and what was the final score? Do you remember your opponent, the first game ever in Colorado history? So I can give you a multiple choice. Ready? It's the Expos and you lost 8-6, the Mets and you won 5-4, the Expos and you won 11-4, or the Dodgers and you lost 4-1.
Okay, it wasn't the Dodgers, and so there's two Expos and
one Mets.
Oh, was it the Mets?
test psychology.
Okay, it wasn't the Mets.
Yep. Okay, so now you're down. So now you just need to know whether you lost or won.
I think we won. But what was the score?
Well, either lost. Eric Young hit lost 8-6, or you won 11-4.
Well, we won.
Yes, you got there it. 11-4, and you got it. Nice. You're right. Eric Young
had a big home run.
Yep. I think he might have been the first one to score.
80,000 people were there. It was crazy.
Yeah, I think the Rockies have the record right now for the
largest crowd.
Well, the largest season crowd, over 4 million something.
Right. Yeah.
Because
Mile High, yeah.
Right.
Guys, it was so fun.
Yeah,
thank you.
Really fun, Dale.
Fun to
really appreciate
take
it.
A trip down memory lane.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, and don't be a stranger.
No,
we'd love to have you back.
Like
always.
I said, I just love to come back. I wish I could get back here more, and again, thank you for the great years I had here personally. They weren't great years on the field, just for the Murphy family. We had 2.5 great years here. It's always be a special part of our career.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
nice
you.
Again, Murph.
Backstage with the Gordon Blade.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.